in the world. There will be hardship and the risk that at any point the secret police could surround and arrest the places where people are meeting. People will be asked to answer for their faith at fear of death. And that's exactly what it was like in the early church. And because of that, persecution caused division, and false and competing claims were made about Jesus and how to live a Christian life. And James writes this letter to seek to correct all of that. And he says life is going to be tough if you're a Christian. It's not always going to be easy, but he says, stand firm, persevere, submit to God, do good, and live out your faith. And one of the great hopes of the early church was that Jesus would return quite quickly, 20 to 30 years after his death and resurrection. He said he was coming back, and the early Christians thought that was going to be in their lifetime. We are still waiting some years later. But what James does is to argue whether quickly or in a long time to come, Christians live patiently and expectantly. And he begins these verses that Harry read to us, James 5, verse 7. Be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. Be patient. And he goes on to give the example of a farmer having to wait. Now, I'm not much of a gardener, but I do know that when you plant seeds or plants in your garden, you need a degree of patience because they tend not to grow overnight. Tend if you stand and look at them, you don't see much happening. But if they are looked after, they're watered and they get warmth, if you kind of were to go back intermittently, you would see growth happening. And that's what James is saying here. As we wait patiently, as we are like that farmer, watching but actually being prepared to wait, so in time fruit will be born. You see, waiting requires patience. Anyone with children or grandchildren at this time of year know that they are very impatient. The first doors of Advent calendars will be open today, and they cannot believe there's still 23 of them to go until they get to Christmas Eve. We've kind of learnt to live with that, but there is still, isn't there, that sense of impatience about what is to come. And as we, grow from children into adults, so as Christians as we grow, we need to cultivate that sense of patience as we wait for Jesus. Patience as we look around our world and see so much that's wrong. Patience as we look to his coming again. And James gives some practical tips about how we do that. Stand firm, he says. Be patient and stand firm in verse 8, because the Lord's coming is near. Bad things happen. We saw that on Friday. And we don't have to look too far back in history to see even worse things, the atrocities of the Holocaust, the atrocities in Rwanda, in Syria in recent years, and so on and so on. Nearer to home, there's theft and violence and signs of evil at work, and some of us may have been victims at times. But against that, we also see the light piercing the darkness. When we saw those ordinary men and women on Friday running towards evil, not just fleeing from it, that's a sign of God's kingdom, of people challenging the darkness and the light bursting through. And James urges us as we wait for the coming of the Lord, to deepen our faith so that we can cope when we go through bad times. As we cultivate deeper roots, we withstand those times of drought and difficulty. And then James says something else in verse 9. He says, don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. Grumbling is easy, isn't it? There's always somebody grumbling about the weather, you know, too hot, too cold, whatever. We're probably all guilty of that. But we do it about other things as well. We even do it about church sometimes. We grumble about this and that and don't like this change and so on. But you know, grumbling breeds disunity. And that's what James was talking about here. Grumbling breeds disunity amongst Christians. James says, don't do it. Seek unity instead. And then James goes on to compare the Christian experience with that of Job. You remember a few weeks ago I spoke about Job, this great character in Scripture who has everything taken from him in an instant. He's a wealthy man, a great man, his lovely family, and everything is wiped away. All his possessions go. His family are all killed, and his house crumbles. And we would understand it, wouldn't we, if Job was angry, if he would grumbled, if he blamed everyone around him, and especially God. Why me? But the thing about Job is, despite the appalling tragedy that he experienced, he stands firm. He waits patiently in hope. And when we get to the end of the book of Job, we see that everything is put right, and he receives even more than he had in the first place. And as well as that being Job's experience, it's God's way of saying that's what will happen to us. Now, I need to be careful here. I'm not saying that when we go through something bad, that actually, in time, materially, everything is going to be better than it was. For some of us, you know, that won't be the case. But what this is a picture of the future, of eternity. Because what God says is, no matter what you suffer in this life, how bad it might be for you, when you get to eternity, things will be better than they ever were before. You will be blessed even more than you could have imagined on your earthly life. There may be pain and suffering in this life, but as we stand firm in Jesus, we enter into that eternal promise of a life where pain, suffering, and death are no more. You see, Advent is a time for us to stretch our horizons. So often, you know, for most of us, we will be looking at the next few weeks of getting ready for Christmas. We're focused on earthly things. And that's good. You know, it's great to celebrate at Christmas. But what Advent calls us to do is look beyond, not just Christmas, but beyond human life to eternity with God, to that day when Jesus, in all his glory, will stand before us. James ends this reading where he says in verse 11, the Lord is full of compassion and mercy. You see, that is the character of God, full of compassion and mercy. And it's revealed at Christmas when he chose to come and live among us. One day we can be certain that he will come again. And as we are journeying through Advent together, we will be reminded of the great promises of God and his desire to make all things new. These coming weeks of December will be a time of busyness for most of us. But I want to urge each of us, in the midst of the preparations that we will be making, to make time to cultivate patience, to wait longingly, to act lovingly, and to take steps that will enable us to grow deeper roots so that we can withstand the storms and the drought that will inevitably come at some point in our lives. So let's just end this with a short period of silence as we ask God's Spirit to come to help us to live as Jesus calls us to. Come, Holy Spirit.